Okay, cool. Morning, everyone. So you all having a good time? Everybody had a good week at Tech Ed? Yeah? So thank you very much for attending my session this morning. So I hope this is going to be a little bit of fun today. We've got all the makings of a good session. We've got some smoking demos. Woo! We've got lots of cool guest speakers. Woo! We've got a product team announcement. Woo! And I've got no swag. Boo! Oh dear, that's terrible. So, those of you who have met me before, come to any of my sessions. My name's Gordon McKenna. I'm a System Center Cloud and Data Center Management MVP of about 10 years now. So it seems to be forever. Feels like that sometimes. But I'm a specialist in Microsoft System Center. I run an SI based out of the UK, and I come to these events and kind of talk about my experiences with customers and what we get up doing. You know, my business basically... Oh, hang on 2 seconds. Right, now that's why you should put link into meeting mode. 2 seconds.
Oh. Gordon.
Oh, hello, boss.
Gordon, last night...
Yeah.
A very, very nasty email come through from our head of sales who said he wasn't able to log onto the CRM system at 11 o'clock to book in the biggest sale this business has done. What was going on?
Okay, so what time was this? I was doing some work on the systems last night, boss.
Okay.
What time was it?
Well, it was about 11:30 at night after I finished catching up on Glee on Netflix.
Glee, okay. Never knew you liked Glee, boss. So let me think, 11:30, 11:15, so I was out at a couple of parties. Do you know what? Right, I remember what it was. I had to patch the cluster. Yeah, there was a new SQL patch come out, and I thought, while I'm out of tech and I've got a bit of time on my hands and I'm feeling a bit tipsy, I'll tell me none of you have ever worked on your servers late at night when you've had a few drinks, yeah? Yeah, come on. So I brought down the cluster and I patched it. And do you know what? You signed a change request off a week ago, yeah?
Change request, major request. How do I have real-time visibility onto my services?
Well, I'm pretty sure a couple of weeks ago I sent you a link to the SCOM console. That's got like 200 reports in it.
I don't want 200 reports. I want one report that shows me the service availability.
Okay, right. Well, I'm actually just up on stage at Tech Ed, so if you can hang on for about an hour, right, I'll see what I can come up with. I've got some pretty hardcore guys here from around the community, so let me see if I can get that nail for you, yeah?
Hopefully they can save your skin. See you in an hour.
All right, thank you. All right. Right, remind me to shut off my link before I do a session at Tech Ed in future, yeah? Okay, so obviously having a bit of fun with you there, right? That's my business partner, Sean. So a bit of a scary Australian all the less. But how many people have been in that kind of situation over link with their bosses, yeah? Yeah, a lot of people. It's a common thing, you know, because, you know, bosses don't get us, do they? Don't know the stress we're under. Don't know what we have to put up with day to day, yeah? And that's, you know, that's a typical thing that I see every day. And, you know, a lot of the time, you know, it's because our bosses don't have visibility. Well, at the end of the day, we don't want to give them visibility, do we, really? You don't want to show them too much because they'll ask too many questions. But I wanted to kind of do that as a little bit of fun at the beginning, but it kind of sets the scene for what we're going to talk about today, really. And this is all about kind of, for years, we've had this really great BI stack over in the SQL and the SharePoint and the Performance Point team. And then we've got this really great management stack over in System Center. And we've never quite connected the two, or Microsoft have never quite connected the two together. So I'm going to talk about how you can do that. So how many people in the room here are IT pros, would you say? Right, how many people are devs? Okay, a couple of people. So for you dev people, if it's a bit IT pro-y at the beginning, just hang on, right? Because we've got a little bit at the end just for you guys as well. And for you guys that are IT pros, don't be scared when Visual Studio pops its head up, yeah? Please, because it's only for a short period of time. And it's to keep these dev guys happy over here, yeah? So let's talk about it. Oh, just to let you know as well, I'm Gordon McKenna. I've got my heavyweight technical guy coming on to kind of do a really deep dive demo for me later on, Martin Coupland. And I've got a guest speaker, Kevin Green, today, who's a fellow MVP, is going to do some very cool stuff around capacity planning in the cloud as well. So a little bit about the agenda. We're kind of going to do a bit of an analysis of the issues. We had a kind of bit of a role play at the beginning to set the scene. Then we're going to talk about Operations Manager and how it's a great tool for collecting some of the data that you need to do capacity planning. We're then going to talk about measuring and publishing the data. So if you want to do capacity planning or effective capacity planning with tools like SCOM, we're going to talk about, you know, what's available for us to do that. So we'll look at analysis services and we're going to look at some of the dashboards in Ops Manager and Performance Point. Finally, we're going to do some forecasting. And I've got one of our, you know, if you don't want to go down the route of building this yourself, I'm going to show you some cool third-party offerings that are available out there that allow you to do it off the shelf. So, you know, I'm going to give you an alternative to kind of actually doing all the dev yourself. And then finally, I've got the very lovely Satya Vail. He's put a special shirt on today just for you folks. And he's going to come up and talk about something brand new, which is Attach, which is going to allow you to do capacity planning in a very unique and very cool way moving forward. So let's take a look at the analysis of those issues, yeah? So why was my scary Australian boss a bit upset? Well, you know, really, in my environment, I don't really have, obviously don't really have a linked up change management process. I also, as well, don't have any capacity planning function, yeah? So, you know, for me to take down servers and patch it, I need to understand, you know, what I'm affecting by that, what systems are running, you know, what the business is using at the time. Typically, most organizations don't do this. It's very much in the way that we kind of did it at the minning. Somebody signs a change request, we bring it down, and we get lots of irate people in the business. And quite often, a lot of businesses that I come across, you know, don't have an effective way of measuring, scorecarding, or predicting on future performance that's coming down the line. Yeah, now people are getting better at this, but, you know, traditionally people don't kind of have a nail on that. So also, and what this actually leads to in the long run is a lot of non-fact-based decisions, yeah, or emotion-based decisions. And, you know, it's a very emotion-based conversation I had with my boss there earlier on. And actually this non-fact-based decision-making leads to two main things in most organizations. Budget overruns, you know, where we're actually, you know, spending too much on projects and finishing them early, or even budget underruns, right, where we're not speccing projects correctly or we're not speccing systems correctly. And, you know, on top of this, right, we've got the paradigm of cloud now. You know, you've all been in sessions this week talking about how cloud's going to impact, and that turns a lot of the traditional ways that we measure on its head a little bit, and we're going to talk about some of that a bit later on. So how many people in the room say they have an effective capacity planning function in their business? Yeah, honestly. Right, so that's kind of, you know, two or three people in the room, yeah? And, you know, and that's not an unusual situation out there, yeah? And, you know, it's important, really, that you build capacity planning into your day-to-day life as IT professionals. You build it into your IT function. And, you know, it's easy for me to stand up here and say that, but, you know, it's a difficult thing to do in the real time, because most of the time we're, you know, we're fighting the latest ad hoc problem, or we're doing firefighting. So, you know, a bit of a definition here. Anybody heard of MOF, Microsoft Operations Framework? It's kind of like Microsoft's take on ITIL, if you like. It's, you know, based around kind of Microsoft technologies. And, you know, there's a little statement up here that talks about what capacity planning is, and it's talking about, you know, assessing the overall service and components in that service and getting information about how the business is doing, whether there's acquisitions, upgrade plans. You know, these are important factors that you have to bring in. And, you know, the idea of a capacity planning function is it provides management with a very clear statement of resource and service capacity. Yeah, so that's the main outcomes for it. Now, there's three main types of capacity planning out there. We have business capacity planning. This is where we're kind of understanding things like how many users I'm going to be onboarding onto Exchange in the next year, and planning for that type of capacity. Obviously, cloud kind of brings some new paradigms to that because we have an unlimited capability. But it's quite interesting. I've been seeing a lot of sessions about cloud this week, and you know, it all seems very nice that we've got this unlimited capability. But the reality is that your businesses are going to have budgets for cloud, right? It's not an unending supply. I'm sure Microsoft would like you to just use cloud forever and ever and keep going and spending loads of money. But actually, the reality is that you guys are going to have a budget for your cloud capacity, yeah? And you need to understand how you can manage that. And you need to understand how you make sure you don't keep going over that. And, you know, it's looking at things like most of you will end up with some kind of hybrid situation where you have a private cloud and a public cloud, or maybe private, public, and a service provider, yeah? So it's understanding how you manage that capacity over those clouds is a really key thing that you're going to have to learn moving forward in your learnings around cloud. So the second thing is service capacity planning. You know, so what does my service need? And the final one is component capacity planning. So looking at individual components of my application and understanding, you know, what capacity I need to provide to them. So that's kind of just the high level overview of that. So, you know, when you're going down this strategy route, there's some key questions that you need to be asking yourself, yeah? You know, what's the future business and IT plans for growth? You know, are we planning on going into a cloud? Are there mergers and acquisitions coming down the line that might affect the capacity? You know, as the business, are there business peaks or other time-based variations in demand? So I've been down the route recently of kind of looking at transitioning some of my business to the cloud. So I had a lot of data center kit that my guys used for demo purposes and development and elements like that. And you know, when I looked at them, they were running these servers in the racks, 99% capacity. Yeah, why? Because you know, I pay per U for the server racks. Yeah, and they spin environments up, they don't bring them down. And my guys are in a very kind of interesting paradigm when it comes to the way that they use their IT, yeah? And I've had to change that. I've had to make them think about switching stuff on and off as and when they need it. And that's really some of the biggest changes in the move from kind of on-premise computing to cloud that we're all kind of faced with. Also as well, you know, applications. When I kind of did my evaluation, I looked at applications that maybe weren't being used all the time. So I've got accountancy apps that are just ran when we do payroll runs or when we're calculating payroll runs. So do I need to be running those all the time, or do I just need to be running them at certain times during the month? So it's building that in my evaluation. So also historical trend data. You know, I mentioned earlier on that a lot of the problems with doing capacity planning is people don't collect historical trend data over a period of time. And actually, you know, Satya's going to talk about some of the new ways that we're going to have that are cloud-based that will allow us to kind of extend that capability. So, you know, the final thing is, you know, how can we meet the capacity predictions of the organization in the simplest, most cost-effective way? That's the bullet statement there, right? How do we be able to achieve that? So, you know, there's some key questions there. Three main capacity planning strategies that most people that I work with do. We have a lead strategy. This is a real common one. That's guesstimates and what-ifs. You know, that finger in the air kind of type capacity. And this is where you don't want to be. You know, this affects budget, affects service delivery, and typically over provision. Most people in the room here will be in a what we call a lag strategy, which is reactive, yeah? So my Exchange starts running out of capacity, I react to that and add more capacity to my Exchange server. That's probably fair to say where most people here are at. Where you really need to be going to is what we call the match strategy. This is where I'm forecasting and trending capacity, and I'm bringing in business data, and you know, I've been having some really interesting chats with the product team about that, about bringing in different types of business events. You know, it's quite interesting. Anybody that's been to any of the SQL sessions this week will know about the kind of way that we're using big data analytics to bring in sentiment data. You know, and that's quite relevant to IT. I'm doing a project with an airline at the moment. And we're this is a crazy, you know, we're looking at the IT forecasting and trending data, but we're also starting to look at things like Foursquare check-ins that are happening at airports. We're starting to look at Twitter feeds. We're starting to bring in weather data, and we're starting to look at airport delays. Now, these are business-affecting events, but when you calculate them in the right way, Yeah, they can actually predict where you're going to be able to need to put resources. You know, for this, we're kind of predicting 2 or 3 hours out that a particular airport is going to have trouble, because we're looking at flight delays from other airports, we're looking at weather coming in, we're looking at an increased amount of four-square check-ins, and we're making IT decisions based on that data that's coming in. And I believe this is the new paradigm in IT. This is what is actually going to start to creep into our day-to-day lives when we're doing forecasting and strategy. So, you know, the management challenge is, you know, we've got all these different locations that our data are in, basically. We've got all these different devices that are connecting in. You know, we've got mobile platforms that aren't domain joined. We've got domain joined PCs, you know, and this isn't getting easier, really, as we go through into cloud. So, and if you look at service components, you know, this is one of my favorite slides. It's complicated. Services are complicated, you know. They can be in private cloud, public cloud. They can be hybrid. You know, they can have multiple different operating systems. They can have multiple different applications running on those. So, you know, multiple physical locations that they sit in. So, you know, managing that and bringing that together is very wrong. So, you know, operations manager is actually, if I just go back to that last slide, this is kind of what makes operations manager a really good tool for collecting the data. I meet a lot of organizations that are going out and spending money on really expensive capacity planning tools, yet they're running operations manager and all the data they need to be able to do capacity planning is being collected by operations manager. You know, it has agents that load management packs that collect data and pump that data back to the database. We have distributed applications, and I'm going to dive in and show you this. We're really big on distributed applications when we deploy Operations Manager, and I'll try to show you why. We have synthetic transactions that we can now run from endpoints in Microsoft Cloud and feed data back in about the performance and availability of applications. Service level tracking built in, so I can start to do capacity-based SLAs. And we have a data warehouse, Ops Manager. How many people in here use Operations Manager today? Okay, good. Fair number of the room. We've got by default, 13-month data warehouse that automatically collects data. And, and of course, now things like SharePoint integration and actually some interesting cloud-attached stuff that's coming down the line as well. So, I'm not going to spend too much time. As we've got a lot of Ops Manager guys, you all kind of know the way that it's deployed. Some big advancements in the last couple of years around kind of making that better. So what I'm actually going to do now is I'm going to jump in and do a little demo around Operations Manager. And just as a quick question, you guys that run Operations Manager, that was probably 90% of the room. How many of you do distributed application diagrams as a part of your architecture? See, that's really interesting, yeah? That's what, like, out of the 90%, probably 5% of you do distributed application diagrams. And I know why you don't do it, because they're difficult to get to grips with. It's you've got to persevere, and most of the time you're feeding off the alerts that are coming in. I'm going to say, though, and let me just flip my screen over. The product was designed with distributed application modeling in mind. Yeah, you know, I've been working with this product since, you know, really that first time that we had distributed application monitoring, and we have object-based monitoring, which was in 2007. The product was designed with distributed application monitoring in mind. It's an end-to-end monitoring product. And actually what creating a distributed application model does is actually give you a data domain for an application, which can be really useful for things like reporting, targeting, and capacity planning. So I'm going to kind of show you. Now, one of the problems that you guys that have tried distributed application modeling is you create a really nice diagram view in the editor, and then you publish that diagram view, and you end up with this little line with objects hanging off the end. How frustrating is that? So we've kind of been working with distributed application models for a while, and we actually do something called nested distributed application views. Now, I can go into more detail offline about this. I haven't got enough time in the session, but I've got some blog posts out there that show you exactly how we make these. But I build distributed application models that look exactly like they do in the designer. And I'll try and show you why these are effective. So what I've actually got here is kind of some buckets that I'm putting stuff together that mean sense to me logically in a business. So if I go into the services tier here, Let me just make that full screen. You can see that a little bit better. So if I go into the services tier in here, you can see that I've got back end, front end, middle tier. Now you can call that data, presentation, logic, whatever you like. They're back end, front end, and middle to me. And what I've actually done, if I look in the back end segment on there, I've actually bucketed together all of the things that constitute the back end of my application. Yeah, so I've got my SQL databases. I've actually got my SQL Server database in there. Now, what's interesting with these DAD models, you can actually control the roll-up of data on these DAD models, so the roll-up of alerts. So although I've got the SQL database engine in there, yeah, I'm not actually rolling that up as an availability alert. And the reason for that is because from an application point of view, I only care about my database being available. Yeah, and from an SLA point of view, I only care about my database being available. But I want to understand if SQL's having problems, because those are issues that might affect SQL later down the line. I've also got, if you look in my little OS bucket here, I've got my operating system that my SQL database runs upon. If I kind of just flick into Health Explorer there, you can kind of just see the operating system type elements that I'm looking at on there. Just bring that up there. So you can see if I unscope. And by the way, you guys that were 2007 with SCOM, isn't it great that they finally scope out those unhealthy monitors within here? So I'm going to just kick that out. So from an operating system, I'm looking at my core Windows services, and I'm looking at core Windows performance counters. Now, what I might also choose from a back-end point of view here is I might put my storage devices. Yeah, or let me go back a step, right? I might have my operating system sitting on my virtual hardware. So if you snap into the virtual machine management pack, I can actually represent in that diagram my virtual hardware or my virtual machine that my SQL database sits upon. If it's VMware, there's quite a few third-party offerings available that allow you to plug into VMware as well. So I could put my VMware virtual machine in there. And also as well, I might put my storage device. I might put my NetApp filer. And also as well, my network devices would go in this bucket that my SQL database talks over. Now, if I look at the front end, very similar, but based around websites. And actually, for this particular application, it's a BI app. So my middle tier is actually reporting services. But if you've got a .NET application, you can use something like Application Performance Monitor to do a deep dive into the application stack at the code level, and you might represent that in that bucket. Now, if I look over here, the biggest thing that I see people miss when they do service modeling is the client experience. And it's quite funny, right? If you go into your teams and you speak to your application teams and you ask them what availability is, they'll say it's whether my databases and websites are up and running. But if you go and speak to a service delivery manager and you say, what is availability? He'll say, it's whether my users are getting the application to their desktop. So different availability for different people within the organizations. So what I've actually got here is I've got, I'm looking at the wrong PC because it's on this one. I've got my little watcher nodes, which are in office locations. And now with GSM, Global Service Monitoring, I can extend that out to internet-facing locations. So I can do kind of inside-out monitoring or outside-in monitoring even. So I've got my little nodes there that are kind of running. And I'm just running business transactions against my website. And actually, my network piece is not what you might think it is. I'm actually using the best network monitoring tool known to man. Does anybody know what that is? Anybody have a guess? What? Ping. Yeah. If I had a prize, I'd swear I would give you a prize for that. I'm using ICMP Ping. What a great invention Ping was, yeah? Because the data that it brings back, you know, how many, we all do that. You know, when our application's running slow, we ping it, don't we? And we see what the latency is to it's a network. And I'm using it in the same way. This is, if my synthetic transactions are running slow, then I'm running the ping data so I can understand whether that latency is at the network data. I know it's not an exact science, but it gives me a benchmark from that particular location. Now, where this really comes into its own is I'm just going to go in here and I'm going to kill something. Oh, I like doing this. This is a great thing about demos. You actually get to take stuff down rather than kind of pick it back up again. So I'm just going to go and I'm going to kill a website. Now, it's a very simplistic application that I'm running here. But we, you know, I've done ones before for SAP that have had kind of thousands of different thousands of different objects on them as well. So I'm just going to go into my SharePoint site here, and I'm just going to stop my site just to show you this isn't smoke and mirrors and is absolutely a live demo. And this is where timing is either my best friend or not my best friend. So let me just do a quick refresh on that. There we go. Oh, I love it when a plan comes together. So I'm just going to click on this little link up the top. Now, what's interesting here, right, is what I'm seeing is one of my synthetic nodes going down. So I know at this point, right, what the business impact is, right? I know that I'm going to have an angry Australian ringing me up from the London office and shouting at me and screaming at me because his application's gone down, yeah? And you can see there live before your eyes, Sydney's just gone down. That's really where the angry Australian should be. I don't know why he's in my country. And you can see New York's down. And actually, you can now see that I've got a services bit that's gone down. So I'm just going to do one final little refresh on this. And this, for me, right, is the killer reason why you should get your heads into distributed application models. So what I'm looking at now, right, is I instantly know now what the business impact. Now, what's interesting, what we do for customers normally with the business impact piece is I could use Orchestrator to pick up that alert and fire an email out to my staff to say, hey, you know, this application, IT know there's a problem with it, right? Don't bomb our help desk with calls. We know there's an issue, yeah? And we'll tell you when it comes back up again, and I can automate the response. What we've done recently for a couple of customers is we've created a status dashboard for IT. You know, for my boss, you know, last night, when his CRM, if he could have gone back in and seen the status dashboard that said I was patching that server, he's going to be a lot more happy with me this morning, yeah? So we do a dashboard, and we're going to show you some tools that you can do that with a bit later on. But I could light up a dashboard, you know? You get that when you with your cell providers. When your cell's down, you go to the company and you look it up. So why wouldn't you do that with IT? And it's amazing how that can raise the perception of your end users when you do that. But what more importantly, right, I know it's not the network layer because my pings are green. Yeah, so I know that's getting through. And I can actually see it's my services tier, it's my front end, it's my website, and I can actually see the website that's causing the problem. So I can actually go in here, I can kick up Health Explorer, I've got my website availability, right, I can see the knowledge, I can see the state change events, so I can see all the other times that's occurred. So I'm doing a bit of problem management, if you like, there, because I'm looking at reoccurring instance. And more importantly, I can go on here, I can kick up this Start IIS website. Now, I could give a first line person the ability to do this without giving them the native rights on the system, yeah? Which is another pretty powerful thing if you don't want to give your first line people the ability to start websites. But I've gone in there, I've run a task, I've started my website, and what I should start to see is my dashboard slowly coming back to green. And this is my second bit of timing is everything. Okay. Let me just do one more refresh there. And I'll just do my little filter health out here. Right, so what's interesting there, you can start to see my green lights coming back on, right? So two of my locations are back up, right? So I might start, all of my locations are back up there, yeah? So I might start flicking that dashboard and firing that email out. And, you know, from a technical point of view, this is brilliant. I've done root cause analysis, and I know it's a simplistic application here, but I've done a root cause down to the problem. I've identified it, and I've fixed it, yeah? Now, one other thing, and this gets on to the capacity planning, because I know this isn't entirely directly. What I've done by creating this distributed application model is I've created a data domain for the capacity data that I'm collecting about this application. Yeah, so I can start to do other things with it. Now, that's great, that view there, for a technical guy, right? But, you know, the idea of kind of us showing you this session today is so that I can go and look at what we can do for business users. So, you know, here's a couple of examples, right? This is a Visio diagram that I've kind of lit up and published to SharePoint. Yeah. Now, this is what I call that service owner view. You know, the guy that doesn't care about the application, only cares. And these are actually live links to individual users. You might have been in some of the other dashboarding sessions this week. The product team have made some significant investment in the console, in widgets that allow you to do this. I've then got, that's what I call my service owner view. This is what I call my operational owner view. So this is SQL reporting services, right? It's a chart that shows the health of my application. It's the same view that my techie's looking at, but I'm looking at it at a higher level view. I'm looking at my top 10 computers by state, my top 10 most active lights. And these are just Dundas, the original Dundas controls that are in SQL reporting services here. And I've just created that dashboard. I've got a little fluffy sales funnel down in the right-hand corner. I don't really know why I've got that in there, but it looks cool. Yeah? It's got no functional value. But I know my boss will come along and think, I recognize that. That's a sales funnel. That looks very cool indeed, yeah? So I've also got here, this is, some of you might recognize this. This is the SLA dashboard in Operations Manager. Now, this is what I want, yeah, right? Even though my application went down and I fixed it, this is kind of what I want my boss to see, isn't it? I want him to see something that's green. And it's so funny, right? Most people create SLAs with the business, and then they go and show their bosses everything that goes wrong, right? I've got a 99.5% SLA with that boss. I'm only going to show him when I breach that SLA. Yeah, and this is the way I can do this. And this is based off that distributed application model. Because I'm done that data domain, I can create that SLA tracking. And you can see I've got client network and services in here. You know, and my boss can have, you know, I always believe, right, give your bosses as the minimum data possible that you need to do. It should be IT on a need to know basis. That's the best way of dealing with them. So that's kind of what we've got here. Now, what I've actually got here is something really interesting. Now, I'm using an old version of SharePoint here, but this is actually performance point, right? So I said earlier on that all the data in Operations Manager is a great tool for collecting, and I absolutely mean that, yeah? It's a great repository for data to do capacity planning. It's just it really doesn't have any built-in tools, well, up until this week, Satya, right, that allow you to do capacity planning, yeah? So what we actually do with most of our customers is we introduce OLAP into the equation. So we create OLAP cubes, and we're going to have a demo of that in a second, on top of the Ops Manager Data Warehouse, and we actually do slice and dice analysis of the data. So this is performance point. It's an old tool, I know, and I should be showing you new tech today, but I still love it, yeah? And it actually allows me to do slice and dice analysis of the data that's in the Ops database. Notice it's based on my application. So I'm taking that data from that data domain that's in there and I'm pushing it up into an OLAP cube and then I can look at memory. Now the interesting thing here is analysis service has some pretty good forecasting algorithms in it. Yeah, so how many SQL guys in the room today? Nobody? Okay, so analysis services has some pretty good, I'm not a SQL guy either, but I build OLAP cubes and dashboards, yeah? But so analysis service has some pretty good stuff. So you can see here, right, I can start to forecast on this data. And Satya's going to blow me away with his new projection tool. But, you know, this is kind of for my on-prem data. So I can actually forecast. I can say what's happening in 12, 24, 64, 24, 42 months kind of thing. And I can start to do that kind of predictive analysis. So what I'm going to do now, so that's kind of really, in a nutshell, Operations Manager to performance point, right? Now, I know there's a lot of thing I'm not showing you under there, right? So, and I'm going to try and do that now and show you how you can make kind of sense of some of that. So the point being there that we got data. Oh, yeah, one final thing I did want to show you on this. Do you know what? I should have just got out of there because I think my internet connection's just gone. I was doing so well there as well, wasn't I? Yeah. So I'll come back to that. So let's get on with my deck, actually. I've got some other dashboarding stuff, but I'll show you that a bit nearer the end. So let's talk about it. So what I've kind of showed you there, really, was, you know, there's four main ways to doing capacity planning or creating a capacity planning function. What I've showed you there is the collection bit. And I'm saying to you, use SCOM as your collection mechanism for your capacity planning function. Yeah, and we're going to try and show you today not only some on-premise ways, but also some cloud-based ways that we can do that. Secondly, right, I need to be able to measure that data. I need to be able to do my forecasting, my algorithms. SQL Server Analysis Services, and I've got 2012 up there, but 2014's got some excellent analysis services capabilities in it as well. And I'm just saying 2012 because that's what we work on today. The published thing is, you know, SharePoint, a great mechanism for publishing your reports. And by the way, that demo I showed you, we call that a reportal. It's a bit corny, I know, but it's kind of a cross between a report and a portal. I haven't got that. You can steal that if you like. I haven't got that locked down. If you want to use it in your organization or not. But that's basically, you know, SharePoint's a great mechanism for publishing the reports. And then forecast. Forecast that data using analysis services and system center advisor, which we're going to talk about. So, you know, some tips around building a self-service portal, right? So these are the main things that we put together, yeah? I've got my operation manager data warehouse over there on the left. Right, we then build OLAP cubes, and we're going to kind of demo that as quick as we can in a minute around OLAP cubes. We then use performance points and SSRS on top of that. Power Pivot's a good tool as well as a display mechanism. And then we have what I call our presentation layer. So for us, there's two presentation layers. There's SharePoint for my boss, right, because he doesn't want that SCOM console with 200 reports in. Yeah, so I put in something he knows and understands. And then Ops Manager is the other mechanism. So that, you know, that's for my technical guys. So the things that I've got coming out of this to display this data are my default reports in Ops Manager, or my dashboard widgets is the other way that I might do that. I've custom reporting out of SharePoint. So that operational view was a custom SQL Server reporting services reports. Analysis service and Ops Manager dashboard. So my end users of this are really IT operators, IT analysts, IT managers, and executives. So the building blocks, again, for the on-premise bit is Ops Manager, SQL Services, SQL Server Analysis Services, and SharePoint. So let's talk about Ops Manager. You guys that do Ops Manager will kind of know the data warehouse, I hope, a little bit. The schema is published. It is a proper data warehouse. So it's designed to keep data in a way. It keeps about a month's worth of raw data, and then everything else after that is aggregated into daily and monthly, hourly and monthly, hourly and daily, choo, boom, hourly and daily reports. So we got the raw hour and daily. And then what I will say is a little gotcha here. Make sure when you're doing this, you absolutely choose the right aggregate, yeah? I had a customer the other day, actually, that I went in. They created a load of dashboards in Performance Point, and they said they're running really slow, and operations managers are really slow. And when I looked at it, they were pointing the dashboards at the Ops DB and not the data warehouse. No, don't do that. Ops manager doesn't like it very much, yeah? So make sure that you're choosing the right aggregate in the right location. The data that we can pull out is obviously perf is the main one for capacity planning, but also events, state and alerts are the other kind of main event tables that we've got. So, and that, I love SQL Server analysis services. Again, I always kind of shied away from SQL Server. I've got into OLAP over the last couple of years, and it is such a powerful mechanism. It's quick. It's actually much quicker than the Ops Manager Data Warehouse at pulling data. And the Ops Manager Data Warehouse is probably the quickest data warehouse that Microsoft have in their arsenal. It was designed as being quick, but OLAP just allows you to mine that, allows you to pivot that, and be able to do that on a lake. And obviously, you know, today, again, I don't claim to be a deep SQL guy, but we've got things like Hadoop in the cloud that are taking kind of this type of speed into a new dimension. And if I get to come back here next year, maybe I'll be showing you some Hadoop stuff in the cloud. But OLAP's designed for large data volumes and very quick aggregation. And it contains statistical algorithms for forecasting, so I can do that kind of what-if analysis. So a little thing about cube components. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I'm going to get Martin to come up and quickly go through this. And Martin, I don't know if you want to come up now. But we've got measure groups, which contain numeric values, calculated values, and timing critical. I think I'm running off this one, aren't I? Or am I running off that one? Okay, no. So you can get on that one. So let me just go back one there. We've also got dimensions, yeah? So the dimension is kind of the attribute of the measure that we're collecting, which is the monitor object path. And then we've got the ability to do pre-aggregate and optimize slice and dice. So again, The goal is, why do we use performance point on top of that? One, it's embedded into SharePoint. Most of you, how many people run SharePoint today? At least 2010 in the organization. Pretty much most of you, yeah? It's in SharePoint. I go into organizations, I say, are you using performance point a lot? And they're like, what's that? I'm like, well, you own it. It's built into SharePoint. It's a service. It's pretty easy for you to do. It's a slice and dice tool. What I didn't show you on those performance points is you can right click and drill down to a certain date. I can right click and drill down to a certain machine. You can log on to that.
I don't know the password.
Oh, okay. Let me just do that quickly. I'll just get Martin on here. Seeing my remote desktop crashed a minute ago. And it's a click once easy design for end users. So it's very easy for users to get into. So you can see I've got a kind of report here that's showing me the capacity across a number of servers. I've also got, you've got these cool ways of being able to do key performance indicators against data. So you can visually see when data is passing a particular metric. So performance point components, these are the main bits. A KPI, you know, what is my key performance indicator that I'm measuring? I can then filter data I don't want to see, and then I create my base report. My base report then, I can create a number of reports which I then add to a dashboard. And I also have indicators and scorecards, which are other things. And Martin's kind of going to go through this in a little bit more detail. But the indicators allow you to kind of put all kinds of different icons to measure performance indicators. The KPI actually allows you to compare actuals against the goal and displays the indicators. The scorecard contains my KPIs against my dimensions that I've got in my my cube, such as computer. And my report contains my fluffy graphs, pie charts, data tables, or Visio diagrams. So I'm gonna flick through this and pass you over to Martin now. Are you ready to go?
Yep, ready.
Okay. So what Martin's going to do for you is something really interesting. He's going to show you very quickly, I hope, how simple it is to create an OLAP cube on the top of the Ops Manager Data Warehouse. He's then going to take a blank sheet of paper and create a performance point chart from scratch based on that OLAP cube that we connected. It's about a 7 to 10 minutes demo, Martin.
Hopefully.
All right. So, hopefully this will kind of show you that this isn't all kind of, you know, it's not an impossible task for you to meet and to do this yourself. Okay.
Cool. Cheers. Well, morning, everyone, I guess, first of all. So, basically, as Gordon says, so what we're going to do is go through, create the OLAP cube from the beginning. For those of you that use Service Manager, obviously there's OLAP cubes built into that already. So why we're doing this for Operations Manager is because there's not that functionality there to begin with. So we're basically just going through from the beginning. We need to create that cube and get it set up. So basically all we need to do first is just create a new project. We're using the BI tools within Visual Studio. So we need to click this is the one at the top, the analysis services, and just give it a name.
Can I, yep. Martin's from Yorkshire, by the way, right? Because we did a presentation earlier in the week, and he's got quite a strong accent. People said he was Australian, and he got quite upset about it. Yeah? So he's from Yorkshire, which is the north of England, by the way, all right?
Yeah, not really that close to Australia, no. But, you know. Okay, so for those of you that have done any kind of connectivity to SQL before, obviously everything starts with a data source. The OLAP cube's no different, so what we need to do is just first of all generate a data source. So like most things in the Microsoft world, it's wizard-driven, so it makes it fairly easy for you to create that connection. So because I've created a data connection before, it's already set up in here. So it's just a basic SQL data connection. We just have to provide the server. The instance name, if required, and the database as well. So obviously, in this example, we're going to go over to the Ops Manager Data Warehouse. So we just need to provide it some credentials as well. Okay, and then click Finish. So what you'll see on the top right there is that the data source is already created for us. So the next thing on top of that is the data source view. So this is where we're pulling in some views from Operations Manager and we're going to start providing some information to say, you know, this is where we actually want the data to come from, and then we'll start building blocks on top of that to provide links between the keys.
Just to jump in while Martin's doing that, so you remember I mentioned the word data domain earlier on with regards to DAB models. You mean Karen going through that? That's exactly what I mean, yeah? We do capacity planning based on applications, and the best way to get that data into an OLAP cube is to wrap it up in a DAB model, and then we use the distributed application monitor as a view that we pull up into the OLAP cube. So I'm specifically pulling up groups of data directly from those distributed application models as well, which makes it very easy for me to report and group and publish that data later down the line.
Yeah, so the views we've added in here, so the first one is VPerf Daily. So this is the aggregated view of daily data within Operations Manager. What else we also have in here is, let me just drag this one across. So this is managed entity. So earlier on, Gordon was talking about distributed applications. So if we're pulling in distributed applications for our analysis, as far as the managed entity view goes, you would see an entity type in this table of a percent underscore service, and that's how you would identify it as a service. So basically what we need to do is just like the designer in Access, for instance, or in SQL Server Management Studio. So it's just a case of dragging the connections between each individual node. So we just drag that across to there. And the next one would be the performance instance. And then the role ID goes down to that one there. So as far as that's concerned, that's actually created. So it's just a case of linking the tables together. So obviously in the background, anyone that's done any SQL query development before, if you were running this in SQL Server Management Studio and trying to get a similar sort of data back, this will be creating join statements for you and getting data that way. Okay, so the next thing is creating dimensions. So basically dimensions are attributes of measures, which we'll look at a bit later when we create a cube. But we need to create dimensions from the data view that we've already created first. And the dimensions are what is the pre-aggregated data for us. So this is what makes it really quick for us to access. Let's go. Right, so the first one we need, is the managed entity. So this is where our distributed application would be. And what we need to get out of there is the path and the name as well. So it's just a case of ticking the box, clicking next through the wizard, and that's basically it created for us. We also need one more as well. Which again is on some existing data because we've already specified this in the view, which is in the performance rule instance. And we also need the object name and counter name in there as well. And we will click finish. And what you'll do, or what you'll see in this as well, this is referencing another view in the database actually. So it's created the link for us just on the right hand side there. So once all these components are in place, we're now in a position to start creating the OLAP cube. So again, wizard driven. We have all the components we need now, so it's just a case of running through the wizard and providing a couple of bits of additional data for us to carry on and get this published. Okay, so what we've done there is just selected the managed entity view on the previous page. And what this will do is go ahead and create measures for us already. So this is using the built-in tools within analysis services to automatically determine the aggregates that we're going to use. So we will have a minimum and a maximum, for instance, as well as an average and a standard deviation as well. Actually, that's not the right one. It's VPerf Daily I want. There we go.
So I take it, as I know these take a little bit of time to process, you've got one you made earlier.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so now that's all actually built for us. So if anyone's done any kind of source code development before, it's just because we're doing it in Visual Studio, it's the same sort of process. So we would need to build it first, and you can see in the bottom left there that the build succeeded. And then it's a case of deploying it to analysis services, and this is where we have our fingers crossed.
Yeah, and what we typically do is we build the analysis services out with the operations manager architecture. So it will be a component that we'll install when we're installing the databases, and you know we'll make it highly available, same way as you would, and it just becomes a core part of that ops manager infrastructure. In the same way, really, that if you use service manager, you're automatically deploying OLAP cubes with the service manager data warehouse there as well. We're kind of just doing a retrofit job with it with OpsMania.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so it's interesting as well, because we're not taking all of the data up, and we're only kind of taking a snapshot of the data, which is from the distributed application models. It's not a great amount of data, and also as well, OLAP's mining it. What we've actually found is we've been able to reduce the data warehouse size, because we're actually targeting the data in a more specific way, and we're mining it in cubes. So we actually find that any space that we normally take up, we're able to gain back from reducing the amount of data that we keep in the data warehouse. Yeah, and obviously because it's faster and we've got a better reporting mechanism, you know, it's always a shame for me the amount of data warehouses that I see deployed with Ops Manager that people just don't use. You know, they'll have kind of a terabyte of disk space under. So it, you know, you're actually kind of giving a new kind of lease of life to the data that's in there as well. So I sound quite affectionate towards operations manager there. You lease a life for it. I normally find that whatever I gain, I lose on being able to reduce the data warehouse.
Yeah. So this is basically what you saw on the screen with Gordon when he was going through the deck. So I'm going to explain what all of these are. So first of all, what we're going to do is just create a KPI. And it's just going to be a simple one, really. So what we're going to do is create a KPI based on the amount of available memory in our objects. So this just goes across and creates it on SharePoint. So this is the dashboard designer that's within Performance Point. You launch this from the SharePoint console. So from your view in Performance Point, it's just literally on the ribbon. And this will open the application that you can see just on the bottom there. So I can't do anything else while that's creating it, which is typical. So what we're doing in this while this is just spinning up is it's just a typical generic KPI, I guess. So we specify a target and an actual value. So the target will be a static value in this case. So we will put a fixed value in of what we want the KPI to be set to alert to. And then we'll choose the data we want. So again, this could be a fixed value, but what we're going to do in this case is get some data out of the cube that we've already created and published up to analysis services.
It's going so well there, wasn't it?
There we go.
You've got your KPI.
Okay, so as I was saying, so we have an actual and a target value. So for the target value, we want to say there's, for instance, 100. And you can see the thresholds based on percentages. So no matter what we put into the data mapping value, you know what the thresholds will always be on a sliding scale using percentages. And you can change these if you want, depending on your requirements. So to get the actual value, we don't want to use a fixed value, but we want to change the data source, and we want to go into the cube that we pushed up. And if we just select a measure, so this goes off into the cube and it lists everything that's available to us to select. In this instance, we want to get some raw data and we want to get an average as well. So this will help take into account spikes in memory usage as well, so we're getting more accurate data coming back. And then we put a filter on the dimension. So we need... So performance rule system name, and then this will take a couple of minutes to load, but what this is doing is just basically loading all the objects that are in the cube from operations manager. Some of these should look fairly familiar, and if I look for memory,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, so the if you look at these, most of these are based off rules, collection rules that are in... I should have switched link off. These are based off collection rules, which are in Operations Manager. So it helps to know Operations Manager, yeah, because you know what Martin's actually looking for there is looking for memory available.
Yeah, and ironically, I can't find it. So
So there, I can see if you scroll down, you've got memory available, memory performance, those kind of things. So it helps to know Operations Manager. Because you'll kind of know what's collecting that memory in there. So, you know, it's worth maybe doing a bit of analysis around the rules and Ops Manager and filtering down and finding the one you want and then just relating that to the date that you want to pull out. So if you think about Ops Manager, you can pull up a performance chart against a rule that shows you some data. And quite typically, it's that you would then go and base what you do your trending on. You say, well, that's great. I can see that in there. And obviously, I can pull a report that showed me a year's worth of data, but I don't get to do that kind of predictive analysis until I drop it into analysis services. Yeah. So again, just a bit of looking around in SCOM first and finding out the metrics that you want before you kind of get into doing the cube, yeah?
Because we're doing something similar to this.
Okay.
The problem is you can't find the
thing
you want. Like you mentioned you had a
block,
right?
So yeah. So another key, right, is that one underlying element with this is that we're doing this collection based on what's in that distributed application model. So I'm reducing the amount of data that I'm pulling out of SCOM. I'm not pulling everything into the OLAP cube, just the stuff that's relevant to that application. And I've got an application-specific way that we're doing capacity planning because that's what our customers say that they want. They want capacity planning based on services rather than everything that's in the environment. And that reduces the footprint of data that's in the actual OLAP cube and makes it very specific to the service lines, yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess ultimately it all depends what sort of information you're looking for. But, yeah. So what we've done there as well is so just created a scorecard with a KPI in. So, literally, this is just rendering the data that's come back as part of the KPI that we've created. So, what you can see, if I just minimise these to the side, so you can see. So, basically, what you can see in here is the actual value, and then again, against our target as well. And we'll get a red, amber, green status as well as a percentage that tells us, you know, what our flexibility is really. So you can get more information out of there as well. You know, it might be that you report on a percentage as well. And then just to finish off onto the other side as well, so there's another one on there, CPU. So again, working on exactly the same principle, but it's just selecting a different monitor out of the list rather than available memory, and like Gordon was just saying, really, it all depends what sort of information you really want to get out. The world's your oyster, really, in terms of, you know, all the data is already there for you. It's just a case of getting out whatever you want to surface.
And then, obviously, publishing-wise, you just publish this out to SharePoint, yeah?
Yep, so this one's actually already deployed, and once it's deployed, it's deployed, and we just save it. But if it was a new scorecard, we would just deploy this straight out to SharePoint from the file menu.
Can you just show us the SharePoint 2013 front end there as well, so we can just kind of see that? Oh, you've got that there. Yeah.
Yep.
So you're just going to show the presentation to you.
So this is the scorecard we have there. So again, like another SharePoint item, it's just a case of clicking on the item for getting more information about it, editing any properties you want. And if you've already created an object that's in there, you can go into this menu and it'll open the dashboard designer that we've already been working in to get some more information.
So okay, brilliant. I mean, can we just maybe bring up one of those reports as well? Have you got them?
That's what I was doing. It's just loading.
Oh, okay, right. Sorry. I didn't notice that as well. And you might have seen earlier, you know, we, from a, just while that's loading up, let me show you one of the other ones that we've got in here. Actually, it's probably in there. There we go. So that's, you know, that's the kind of results that we can get there. So what's interesting here, I kind of ran this earlier on. I've created a dashboard around that application that's got CPU, memory, disk, network adapters, and database. Now, what I can actually do with this, again, I can do that 24-month forecast. So what I've been able to do is, based on the data I've got in the data warehouse, I can actually see that for this particular application, if I don't do anything by the end of this year, I'm actually going to run out of capacity on that
database server. And again, you know, I can drill into that because it's a performance point. I've got the ability to kind of right-click and drill down to specific elements that are in there as well and to be able to show data. So, you know, if you've got the time and the willing, it's quite good. How many people, after seeing that, thinks they might go away and have a go at that? Right, okay, so about 50% of the room, right. So for those of you out there that are sitting there and thinking, I'm never going to do that in a million years, right? There are a number of third-party offerings and some other Microsoft elements that we're going to talk about. Now, I want to introduce one of our partners up here that does a capacity planning add-in. So, again, if you don't want to go for... I kind of like tinkering around with things and building stuff, and particularly out of stuff that I've got. And the great thing about everything I've showed you is there's no really cost to that. You own SQL, you own SharePoint. I'm going to bring up one of my colleagues and partners from Vincent from OpsLogic, and he's going to kind of show you a solution that that OpsLogic have. It is a management pack for Operations Manager. So you actually, because I was rambling a little bit earlier on, you actually have about
5 minutes should be enough.
3.5 minutes.
Three and a half minutes.
Yeah. No pressure. Yeah.
Okay. So hi, my name is Vincent DeVries. I work for OpsLogic, and
let me just flip you over, actually. That'd be useful so everybody else can see the screen. There you go.
So we extend System Center products by making management packs for Operations Manager. And one of the products is for quick forecasting with a capacity dashboard. So let me just get a dashboard view here, a new one. And basically the scenario I want to show you is that I actually want to see when the disk space on my SQL server on which I'm running the SQL database for Operations Manager, and basically this instance of Operations Manager is going to run out of disk space. So I'm going to make a new dashboard. Click Next. I'll give it a logical name. Capacity. Free space. All right. So I have to choose my object. And I'm using a standard Microsoft widget for that, or the wizard to select the object. And I'm going to go ahead and choose C, which is actually the drive I'm looking for. Now, when I scroll down a bit, I'm going to look for the server, the SQL server, on which my database is running. So which would be DevSQL 01. So I've added it here. So then the next thing I have to do is add the performance counters, so which I'm going to do in these drop-down boxes. So the performance counter runs against the logical disk, which is an object in Operations Manager. Now the counter name would be percent free space. And I'm going to choose C as my instance. So I'm going to add this to the list. I'm just going to use one. You can use multiple later on. So now we come to the forecasting piece, and we have to configure that. So there are a few metrics which we can input. So I'm going to turn, basically I want a critical alert at some point, and I'm going to make that 10%. So when my available disk space is only 10%, then I want an alert, and I want to be alerted 10 days in advance. Now, I can also get a warning alert, so say for 20% free disk space, and I also want a warning for that 10 days in advance. Now, free disk space is actually a descending line, so I'm going to select that and save that. Click Next. Now, of course, we want to calculate the data with the regression line, so the trending, and we can do that over a set amount of data, and by default it's set to a month of data, but if you want more accurate data, you can use, well, all the data available, which is 13 months in your data warehouse. But just for speed, I'm going to leave it default at a month, and I'm just going to check the amount of days I want to see in the widget. So we click Next, Create. And then hopefully it should create the dashboard pretty quickly.
So much quicker than creating OLAP cubes. Again, I say I love tinkering about with things in Visual Studio, but a way of kind of displaying this in SCOM, and I suppose it appears in the web console as well, so you can kind of display that up.
Yeah, it should appear in the web console as well, yeah. So here we have it. We have our C drive, logical disk, and then underneath here we can see the dark blue line is our actual data, and we can see it goes down in phases. The light blue line is actually our trend line, which is going down, and it's not going down that fast. And we have the yellow and the red, which are our thresholds. Now, the point we're interested in, of course, is when are these lines going to cross? Well, our forecast says in 15 months, we're only going to have 10% of free disk space left. So we can do some planning on this. So in 15 months, if you need to spin up some extra disk space or buy some extra hardware, you can plan on that. And I can give you a quick little demo on how we've got into a warning state. So now, if I would say, for instance, I want a warning at 40%, I would save it here, 45 maybe. So now we've already passed our warning threshold. You can see that by moving the line. But we didn't pass our critical threshold yet, so we're only getting a warning at 45%.
Okay,
so brilliant. That's my quick demo.
Yeah, thanks very much. So, yeah, good way for you to do it quite nice and simply using the Ops Manager data. So I think we've showed you two things there, the way that you can do it using some of the inbuilt tools you've got. If you've kind of don't fancy kind of getting into Visual Studio and things, you can do it like that. Now, the final, I was going to have a demo with Veeam as well, so I definitely recommend Veeam as being, if you guys run, how many people run VMware here? So Veeam have some, if you haven't got it already, have some great capacity planning and trending reports as well. So if you go over and see them at booth 31, I'm sure they'll show you as well. I've got two last quick minute things I want to get in, so this is going to be cool, so definitely worth just hanging on to. Anybody heard of App Insights here? Anybody seen App Insights here? Great. So I'm just going to bring Kevin up, and he's just going to show you a way of projecting. So my next section is actually capacity planning in the cloud. And this is using some of the new emerging technologies to actually do capacity planning. And I thought it was definitely warranted doing that. So Kevin's going to quickly show you some application projecting that we can do in the cloud. And then Satch is going to come up and make an announcement at the end of the 1 minute I leave him left. Sorry, mate. Okay, Flip so, on. Yeah, you need to go back to the main one. Yeah. That's it.
Okay. Okay, cool. Morning, everyone. My name is Kevin Green. I'm, like Gordon, also a cloud and data center management MVP. I'm working for a company called Ergo, based in Dublin, Ireland. I'm going to show you something really, really cool. Gordon asked a question earlier, how many people here are IT pros? And it was pretty much the majority of the room. I'm in that boat too. I'm an IT pro, okay? But a lot of my customers have developers. Some of the staff I work with, we've got our own development team. Microsoft have bubbled up a lot of the features that we know in Ops Manager up into a new product offering called Application Insights. Application Insights is currently in preview, but is part of the online version of Visual Studio, simply called Visual Studio Online. It's also situated up in public Azure. So very quickly, you saw the capacity planning for applications or for data on-premise. Something really cool that one of my favorite features of Application Insights here is based around usage data. So certainly if you're on-premise and you're looking at your application and you're thinking about scaling out that app based on load or based on maybe peak times in the year or in the month, it's nice if you have something that can look at your application from a front-end perspective and get the data that you need to start properly planning your capacity. So here we go. In Application Insights, we're going to have a quick look here at a demo application that I've spun up called Fabricam. It's a web-based application. There's some really, really neat dashboards in here. And you can scale and scope these on the basis of, on the basis of any period of time, from, you know, an hour to custom times to months to I think up to at least a year. So we can see here very briefly, and this is usage data for a daily trend of user sessions or activity. So you can see that there's a slight peak here in traffic. This is when I was pushing some load-based tests against it. We can see relative percentage of sessions, and loads of pretty cool and useful information there. If we wanted to do some troubleshooting, we have got like slowest requests. In here, again, you can see the date, the time, how long a particular page inside that application has taken to load. If we move into the user environment, we can start seeing information here around, I'm just going to go back and get some historical data. We can see some information in here around trend of active users per day. We can see some spikes in the data here. And if we go to loyalty, we can also get information back around how often or how frequently my users return. So this is where capacity planning may well be very, very useful. So if I go...
Kevin, why are you doing that? This is for PaaS-based apps, yeah?
Yeah.
That are situated in Azure.
This is for... you can use application insights, if you like, for PaaS-based, right?
Yeah.
Or they don't have to be sitting in Azure. So you can deploy an agent to, which is the Microsoft monitoring agent, from Application Insights onto a server that runs your web-based application, .NET or Java at the moment. If your application is sitting up in Azure or on any provider, if you have access to that application and you can instrument it, so there's a small bit of code, I won't go through it right now, but I can talk to you about it after. There's a very small bit of code is all you need to do is just to put it into the layout and some sections of your web application, and then it will bubble up this information into Application Insights. So it's not specific to you guys having to run your web applications up in the cloud. I've got this targeted at our own extranet, and it's hosted in locally in Ireland by a local data.
That's cool. And I believe you've got some good blogs, Kev,
that
where you kind of talk about your experiences with this as well,
which
will be really useful, yeah?
I won't take up too much more time here, conscious of getting Satya up. So anybody wants to talk to me about this, please come up after the session and appreciate people hanging around.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks, thanks, Kevin. Much appreciated. Just finally, I've got Satya from the product team, known Satya for many a few years, and Satya's just going to talk about one of the new Ops Manager attach options, trying to cram as much in for you. Has anybody seen the System Center Advisor stuff yet this week? Wow, one of you. So you guys that put your hands up around Ops Manager and didn't see it, you're going to be blown away by this. Satya.
Hey, guys. My name is Satya. I'm part of the Operations Manager engineering team. One of the big pieces of feedback we got from a lot of you all over the last couple of years is it's been very hard to get meaningful insights on top of your operational data. And with the announcement we made around System Center Advisor, one of the attached services that we are having is we're going to be allowing you to pump your operational data that's on-premise to our cloud service and provide you some real rich BI on top of that data. We have a session at 1 p.m. that goes into depth about this. I'm just going to show you a quick taster of some of the capabilities that we offer. So we have really focused in on some key scenarios, so we wanted to provide you insights on some of the key scenarios. So one of the key scenarios is capacity planning that we looked at. I probably need to refresh my console here. But here, for example, you can see that we take your VMs created over time, and based on our algorithms that we have using our big data technology, we have HD Insight in Azure, we process this operational data, and we do things such as giving you projections on number of VMs that you have remaining, and when will you run out of capacity in your environment. And we again give you drill downs into each of your key resources, such as compute and storage, which is, I know, a big pain point for a lot of you guys today. So again, I know I have very short time. We're doing a session at 1 p.m. after this. We'll go into depth into each of these topics.
And just to note on that, so System Center Advisor is an attach for SCOM. So you set it up within the Operations Manager console, and it takes a feed off the data you're collecting. I believe the capacity planning data comes from Virtual Machine Manager.
Yep.
Exactly.
So it's through that virtual machine manager connection within Operations Manager. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it for that. Yeah. Right, so just to sum up, as I kind of have about 30 seconds to a minute, we've showed you quite a lot today, I think. So just to sum up, make capacity planning a core function in your business, right? You've got a plethora of tools out there, depending on how much work or effort, how money you've got. There's new tools coming, Microsoft are developing in it. Keep your CIO happy, yeah? Avoid those budget overruns and underruns. Make the right investment decisions based on fact-based decisions, not emotion, and keep eye into the row. So the key steps that we've discussed today are collect that data with Ops Manager. Yeah, make sure that you create your DAD models and collect that data. Measure that data in the correct way, and there's various tools from on-premise to cloud that we've showed you today. Find the right mechanism to publish. If it's your boss, publish in SharePoint. Yeah, if he's into his cloud stuff, get him a view of the advisor. And then finally, forecast your data. So make sure that you have the ability. And we've shown you three or four, five ways of doing that today around different kind of elements that you've done. So thank you very much for coming today, guys, to my session. Please go and vote and say nice things about me, because I do want to come back again next year and do more stuff. The voting slide? Okay. There is a prize. Oh, evaluate this session. There's the key thing there. So thank you very much, guys, and enjoy the rest of your day.